Good evening. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. I noticed when I opened the bulletin this morning that that verse is in your bulletin today. I don't know if it's in there every day as the theme verse for the church. I noticed the summary of it is behind me. Apparently that's the case. It is the verse that we have on our presentation. I want to share that with you briefly. We want to extend our greetings to you. It's been quite a while since we've been back here at Brookside. Honestly, we don't remember last time we were here. Maybe Gloria was here, maybe she wasn't. Wendy, would you stand? My wife Wendy, my daughter Gloria. She'll be 11 this summer, and that keeps us honest. We have supporting churches that we have not visited on furlough since before Gloria was born, and we thought we need to do it sooner or later. So this is sooner, and we're happy to be back. Brookside has been supporting us, I don't know if it was since 98 or 99, Pastor Dean Taylor, way back when. I don't know if anybody is still here from back in those days. Anybody? Okay. All you are the old people. You're supposed to be here on Tuesday for the seniors. Right. Actually, when I saw that announcement come up, I'm like, wow, in one decade, I'll be going to the seniors thing too. Praise the Lord. But very happy to report on what the Lord is doing in Mexico. We were in Equatorial Guinea, Africa, for a number of years before the Lord took us to Mexico, largely through Wendy's health. And one of the things that drew us there was the resources, the things that the Lord is doing really through the university all around Mexico. But this verse I wanted to begin considering as we focus primarily on a report from the field. But this verse orients us to what God is doing in the world today. What God is doing in the world today. This is the letter that speaks more of the Father than any book in the Bible. God the Father. Obviously, it talks about the Son as well, but there's an emphasis on God the Father in Ephesians like nowhere else in the Bible. It's also the letter which most clearly speaks of the church in terms of the function, the planning of God, the letter most about the church. And one summary of the letter would be what God the Father is doing in the church through his Son for his eternal glory. What God the Father is doing in the church through his Son for his eternal glory. To him be glory in the church. That's kind of the shortened down version. Paul put it this way, Ephesians 3:21, unto him, that's the Father, be glory in or by the church, by means of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What the Father is doing in the church for his eternal glory by means of his Son. And I mention that because we are involved in Mexico in church planning, and we are very aware of the centrality of the local church in God's plan. The ministry that drew us to Mexico was the seminary. But all of us who teach in the seminary and train church planning men are church planners, and we all have a church we're pastoring. The church, the seminary is an accredited university, but it's under the ministry of a local church. And I think that is unique in missions in general, especially being under an accredited seminary in a foreign country under a national church. It's a very ministry-focused university, and I have the pleasure of being involved personally in church planning as well as training church planners and strengthening church plans. That's your three-point outline. That's where we're going here in the time we have. We're just across the border from Monterrey, Mexico, just across the border from Texas. It's a great place if you're looking at a missions trip, maybe as a family, as a church, youth group, or you just want to get rid of your teenagers for a while, you can send them our way. We'd be very happy to have them. For a while, Mexico is very unsafe with the drug cartels. That's largely died down. So feel confident to come and visit us there in Mexico. I'd be very happy to have you. I should mention, too, I forgot to explain the broken arm thing. We're on a two-month furlough, trying to visit as many churches as we can during third semester. Graduation is July 8th. I'll be back for that, and then assuming the summer schedule. But we dropped the airplane off in Greenville, South Carolina, and I was filling out a form online at about 10 p.m. 3 weeks ago tomorrow, and I needed to know when the previous medical exam was administered, and the airplane, the papers were in the airplane, so I went running through the flower bed in the dark, and I broke my arm falling in the flower bed. So listen, Mexico's safe. You can come to Mexico. There's no problems. Just stay out of the flower beds, and you'll be fine. But really, we would love to have you, anybody who would be interested in coming. If you want to like go to Mexico for a month or two and work on Spanish, anything like that, we have the facilities of people that we could house you there in Monterrey, Mexico. Monterrey is the third largest city in Mexico, intellectual capital, industrial capital, very modernized, very American. We're actually not in Monterrey technically, and we're in Guadalupe, which is kind of on the side there of Monterrey. And I'll be referring to this church here as the Mother Church. Gennesaret Baptist Church was founded about 38 years ago by a Mexican young man, federal judge, dean of a law school. And that church has been instrumental in planting a number of churches in the Monterrey area. I pastor one of those church plants. And down in the corner there, lower left side, you see Arboledas de San Roque. That's the name of the neighborhood where I'm pastoring New Life Baptist Church. Our church there in Arboledas, that's that first square, has two areas where we do kind of like missions, outreaches, kids club. The first is on your right there, Bosques de San Pedro, and then the other one, Monte Cristal. Now, I could translate that for you. It's Groves, Woods, and Crystal Mountain. But if you say that two or three times, it starts to sound like Dora the Explorer. Groves, Wood, Crystal Mountain, Groves, Wood. So you can just pray for us there in Monterrey. That'll work, right? So our church plant is kind of on the corner, the outskirts of civilization of Monterrey, and we're working in two of the neighborhoods, really where the greater metropolitan area ends. Church planting involves a lot of discipleship, a lot of evangelism, a lot of door knocking, bus routes, more technically pickup routes, or in our case right now, we have a little 1991 hippie van, like the Volkswagen Scooby-Doo van. That's our church van right now. It's working out great for us. A lot of activities with kids. Someone this afternoon commented how that parents are often willing to send their kids to your ministry to get them out of the house, right? Well, we'll take them. We do a lot of ministry there with the kids. We have the advantage of having the seminary and university students working with us in the church plant, so we have quite a bit of help with manpower there at the kids' ministries. One of the issues in this church where I'm pastoring, I've been there now 6 years, when we went there, it was basically one small little group that was all a family. It was kind of like a family church. And I had been working in the neighborhood next to it, and we brought the people from our neighborhood over to that area and combined, and then we opened another mission. And it's changed the dynamic of the church greatly. When we first went there 6 years ago, there were two or three faithful men attending, and the Lord has just tremendously blessed a number of solid families now. This gentleman here being baptized grew up on the street where the church is. The church is in the neighborhood where there are gangs. They just recently paved the roads. Very violent, very bad neighborhood. This kid would go around spray painting, graffiti. He was into all that before he was saved. In fact, the pastor of the mother church would go all the way out to this area to do a Bible study with his mom and dad. Well, his dad didn't want to have anything to do with it, but this kid would jump over the back wall and run out the door to avoid the Bible study when he was 12. Since then, he's been saved. He's been called to preach. Here he is preaching his first sermon in our church. He's going to finish Greek class this fall, this spring, whether he likes to or not, and he's going to graduate. He should have graduated last year, except for the Greek class. Ironically, this past year, he's been in a ministry an hour and a half west of us teaching Greek, among other things. But we see the Lord taking young men like him, literally right off the street where the church is, and sending him into the ministry. He's the kind of guy that Tim Cassie wants to meet. Like Obed, the guy that was just up there, wants to go do that kind of stuff. And there's a real strong missions movement in Mexico. We take mission trips from our church. This is always confusing when we write about it in the prayer letters, because people are like, wait a minute, aren't you on the mission field? Well, yeah, but our church wants to support missions. We have 5 missionaries we support. We take mission trips, and we have at least 25 people in our church now who've taken their first mission trip with us in our church plant. We want our church to be a missions church, and so we do mission trips and we support missionaries. Of course, if you've been on a mission trip, you know that's something you're going to see sooner or later. So the Lord has blessed the church plant there tremendously in the last 6 years. You see the Christmas decorations in the photo, and you see everybody with coats. We don't have heat in the buildings, and so honestly, in the wintertime there, it's colder inside than it is in your house where you have heat, right? I assume you have heat here in Wisconsin. So you take your gloves off and you play the violin or your trumpet or whatever, and you put your gloves back on, and you're huddled up there during the couple cold months of winter and the summer very warm. But the Lord is given us three co-pastors at the church plant. Here's one of them. His name is Joel. He's on the far right holding his little brother. Immediately to his left is a guy who worked with us for 3 years, Juan. And now he's an assistant pastor at a local church and starting deputation, Lord willing, this fall to go to Ecuador as a missionary. The next guy along there is one of the co-pastors. The guy in the big white shirt is in the States right now wanting to go full-time into the ministry. And the guy on the far left was with us for 3 years during his seminary training. He is planting a church 15 minutes from us. So these are guys that either are working with us or have worked with us, and they're in our church plant learning to plant churches and going out and doing it, having done it with us there live and in 3D. One thing we want to do to reach out to the guys in the neighborhood, I mentioned the neighborhood is very problematic. Gangs, it is soccer. And so we have this team, which now for 3 years we've invested quite a bit of time, money, love, effort, and reaching out to these guys literally from the gang, the two gangs, both of them, in our neighborhood. This is the roof of our church, which we've kind of paved and made into an indoor soccer field on the roof, and have seen really a tremendous response. When I broke my arm, all the guys on the team are writing me. The guys who, like, don't go to church, they're not saved. One of these guys' girlfriends, who has a kid, of course, with him, writes and says, I'm praying for you. There's no way. They formed a group on Facebook, invited us to it from the guys from the church, from the soccer team. So we've really invested a lot of effort. Maybe the guy there with the birthday cake, Brian, he's made a profession of faith. We think he may be a genuine believer, struggling to follow up with these guys. Very difficult situation, but pray with us. If Obed got saved and called to the ministry, Brian could be serving in a local church, and any one of those guys who are phenomenal soccer players could be serving the Lord as well with their lives. You see, this isn't the typical hairdo and outfit that you're expecting from your missionary report. Almost all these guys are from the street. They're in the neighborhood. Like, this was Christmas of this past year, and because all the church guys went home for a Christmas vacation, we won the tournament because it was all just the guys from the neighborhood, and they were phenomenal. They have a game at normally 9:30 p.m. on Sunday nights tonight. So pray for us as we try to evangelize these guys, Bible studies with them, all kinds of activities, trying to get them the gospel. So that's the high-speed pass on the church planning. In addition to that, and they all dovetail, they all kind of overlap these three aspects of our ministry. Training church planters. You saw a picture of several men who were with us in the church plant and are now planting churches. That's because we're involved in training church planters. We teach at the Christian University of the Americas. When you translate that, well, that's actually translated from Spanish. In Spanish, it's La Universidad Cristiana de las Americas, UCLA. UCLA. All right. So we've gotten letters from UCLA in California asking to cease and desist using their name, but it's in Mexico and it's UCLA-Mexico. So I think we're good. It's nothing to do with UCLA in California. It's the Christian University of the Americas that the Lord raised up. First class is in 1998, completely modular classes. And the Lord used three men to start the university, the local pastor, Carl Herbster, and Sam Horn. Before he was pastoring here, when he was at Northland, he dedicated a tremendous amount of time and investment, traveling nearly monthly down to Mexico to start the university. From those humble, basic beginnings, the Lord has blessed. We have now, the mother church has from daycare through the master's degrees, all educational levels. All of the majors are accredited. Here are the majors that we offer. And the next thing we're trying to add is a master's of theology with emphasis in expository preaching of the New Testament. So that's what we're working on right now as far as paperwork with the government. All these classes are in-house. You have to come and study for 4 years. They're all accredited. As far as we know, it's the only Christian university in Latin America that is accredited, and that's just a tremendous advantage. The pastor of the mother church, I mentioned, was a federal judge, and his vision was to strengthen churches in Latin America by helping Christians become trained professionals. And so all these secular degrees, as well as sacred music and pastoral theology, he wanted it to be accredited, and by God's grace, it is. And so with the master's degree, our plan is to go straight to online, because the majority of men who would be ready for master's level studies would not be able to leave their ministries and go up to Monterey. So doing it online, a 2.5-year program is what we anticipate. These are the classes I teach or have taught, not all of them every semester, but during our 8 years there. In a number of them, I no longer teach because through these 8 years of being there, our graduates now have come on faculty, and some of our graduates are teaching some of these classes that we prepped. Here are 26 classes that are the university classes recorded live in-house right there, and we offer them online. This is not for accreditation, but if someone takes 20 credits or 20 classes, I'm sorry, 20 classes of the 26, then we do offer a diploma online. The class is $55 for 3 credits of university. So if you want, if you speak Spanish, and you want to study the Bible, this is a tremendous opportunity, very accessible. And since we went there 8 years ago, seen not just our family growing up quickly around us, but these students, the guy in the back there with the hat, we're trying to offer him this fall to be the 4th co-pastor part-time with the youth. I mentioned that we were in Equatorial Guinea, Africa, only Spanish-speaking country for a number of years. So in 2011, we took a team from the university back to Africa and trying to give our students exposure in missions. There really is a very strong missions movement in Latin America. And one thing we do at the university to promote that, especially in the seminary, is primitive missions. Where we were in Africa was very primitive. Literally, we would put our paper in the sun or over the fire to toast it slightly before printing it, because it was so humid you couldn't print unless you pre-toasted your paper. So that was kind of primitive conditions. In Mexico, the guy on your right there is a student. The guy in the middle is Mexican in the mountains of Mexico, but he doesn't speak Spanish. He's one of many tribal people in Spanish that still don't speak Spanish. They're just from the tribe and up in the mountains, they speak their language. So the guy on your left is the pastor who's interpreting for our student. We give our students cross-cultural missions without even leaving Mexico. And we do that every 2 years. For example, we do it during third semester. We're in third semester right now, and I do that primitive missions training with the guys. And so we did it last year, and we're doing it next year, and that's why I can get away, because it's the other guy's turn to take the seminary students in third semester. So that's something we really emphasize. Right now they're in urban missions. They go out Thursday through Sunday every weekend during their urban mission setting. But during their primitive mission settings, we take them to one of these places. I explained it this way. My goal is to find a place where you say, bathroom, what's a bathroom? Okay, that's the kind of place we're looking for these guys. And like when I said, when we saw Tim Cassie and what they're doing this morning and that kind of, our people could go into that no problem. Get on a bus, travel, not knowing where you're going to sleep, where you're going to go, no big deal. And in fact, as we traveled around Africa, that's what struck me. It was like, I've been in Africa a lot with Americans, and it's like, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. And you're with the Mexicans, and it's like, oh, that's normal, that's normal, that's normal, that's normal. It's no big deal. They're a lot more adapted and able to get into some of these countries. So seeing the missions movement coming out of Latin America is vitally strategic. The guy there in the middle is the guy who's going to Ecuador, Lord willing, is a missionary. The guy on the left, the tall guy in blue, is from Peru, a music major. We sent him on the primitive missions program, and he preached his first sermons. Now he's co-pastoring in central Mexico in music. So you know Mark Hynek from here. One of his guys is at the university studying. His nickname is Tico. That's what you call somebody if they're from Costa Rica. They're all Tico. So Tico Gershon is his name. I forgot what it was. Tico told us about a trip he and Mark had taken down to Panama. In fact, Sam Horn told us about this place, and it never made the connection until we were down there. I'm like, oh, this is the place. 15 miles off the Pan-American Highway, almost an unreached tribe. They've had the gospel clearly well presented, good teaching for the last 12, 13 years from a man in Costa Rica, an almost retired pastor who's gone to this very primitive area. When I got down there, folks, that blew my mind. How can there be 15 miles off the Pan-American Highway a nearly unreached tribe? I mean, witchcraft and open demonism, it's just incredible. So when we heard about that, we got interested. And so last year, we took our primitive mission guys there, you know, every 2 years, instead of going to the mountains of Mexico, we took them down to this area of Panama. They're sleeping out in these huts. They're going down to the well to get water and walking back up half an hour with their water, all that stuff. I'm not against American mission trips. I'm inviting you to take one and see us, okay? But when Americans go to this place in Panama, they rent like a brand new SUV and they drive in and they drive out every day. And I understand you don't speak Spanish, that's good. So you build or you paint, right? I mean, you do what you can, that's good. Are you, you know, great. Our guys, we went in, big bag of beans, big bag of rice, I'll see you in 2 weeks. And they just lived up there, they slept up there, they speak Spanish, they don't speak the tribal language, but they're like a lot more on the level of the people they're trying to reach. They had manifestations of demonism in one of the villages where they were, and I wasn't there, the missionary wasn't there, they're calling me back to from Mexico, and just, you know, tremendous struggles, tremendous opportunity to serve, and the local pastors there are looking to our third and fourth year seminary students because of their Bible knowledge, and obviously they really know the word. They're looking to our third year guys like for what to do in these situations, and I'm like, wow. The Lord really stretched our team this past summer, but the Lord's given us opportunities to give our students a vision for that kind of ministry really around the world. We have a number of students who are in other majors who want to get involved in missions, and so we try to promote that however we can. These are just flyby of graduates serving in Mexico. We would call that home missions because they're back in their own country serving as church planters. They're on the coast, Jaime. Let me pause here on this one. Go back to Jaime if I can. At this church, never mind, we'll go on. This past week, the Christian University just finished its first pastor's conference without any American missionaries there. We've always done pastor's conferences every year for now 10 years they've been doing it. But since I'm on furlough these 2 months and our buddy is gone as well, they said, well, I guess there's no pastor's conference. And I just looked at him and said, you asked for it. You guys are going to do it. You need to change the mentality that if, you know, the Americans aren't there, we can't do the pastor's conference. And they did it, had a tremendous week down with one of our graduates. So we have missionaries in Mexico planting churches. We have missionaries from Mexico, like this guy here, Jesus Alaniz, in Ecuador. He's been there 5 years. The church has 700 people, and they're going back now with the goal to start 5 churches in the next 5 years. This gentleman was the assistant at the mother church. He planted a church in French Guyana. He's an Arab of French citizenship who went to Mexico because the marijuana was cheaper and got saved, called to the ministry, and now he uses his French citizenship to get into these kind of weird little places, and he's got all the rights to all the stuff that the French government hands out. And so he's been a missionary and planted a church there, and now he's on an island off the coast of Mayotte planting a church as well. Notice where Mike and Susie served. This is Venezuela. One of the gentlemen on faculty at the university is an ex-missionary in Venezuela, and basically Hugo Chavez shut down American missions in Venezuela. You cannot go there right now as a missionary. If you're an American, but a Mexican can get in. And that's just another one of these places where Latin Americans can get into many places that American missionaries can't get into, and so strategically having the university have that missions emphasis is key for the Great Commission. In addition to that, we have international students who arrive to Mexico from other parts of the world. For example, this guy and his brother are from Chile, and they studied at the university. His brother went on and got his master's at Bob Jones, and then his brother now has taken over the work that the American missionary started in Chile. This gentleman came to Mexico from Spain, married his Mexican wife, went back to Spain for a number of years and served, and now he's actually back on faculty serving as well. And it's the guys like him that are enabling us to open the master's program. Antonio, the darker gentleman there, married a Spaniard girl and took her back to Venezuela with him and his parents. So we have several students from Venezuela, from Peru, from Costa Rica, from Honduras, from America, from South Carolina, from Spain they've come, Australia, from all different parts. I'm missing places, I'm sure. This girl here from Spain married a Mexican and is now taking over the work that the Americans started in Spain. So here, since 1998, the Lord has raised up the university to have an impact globally in terms of providing stable, trained leadership for the local churches. So I mentioned the pastors' conferences that we hosted just this past week. You'll notice the very front of the line on your left, that is the pastor of the mother church, Julio Montes. He was killed a year and a half ago in a car accident. 56 years of age, he and his wife taken together. His daughter was driving. His other daughter was in the back seat, a grandchild in the way back. And the Lord just took the two of them home. He was promoted to be magistrate, which is the highest level a judge can be in Mexico except for the Supreme Court. He turned it down to open the Christian school, kindergarten and first grade. And everyone's like, you are nuts. You're turning down being a magistrate to go open a kindergarten. Well, that was in 1994 when the Mexican Constitution changed to allow Christian education. They had been praying, the Mother Church had been praying for this. In short story, between Pastor Julio, Pastor Horn, and Dr. Herbster, they came together, formed the Christian school first, then the university, and then the Lord took him home a year and a half ago. The school has gone on. The school has gone forward. The school is doing better financially. It doesn't make any sense. This guy was incredible. He was brilliant. He would sleep 5 hours a night and then get up at 3, 4 a.m. and be ready to go. And just, he could micromanage everything, and he was an amazing guy. But the Lord took him home. And so his replacement in the mother church's decision on who would be the next pastor is critical for the ministry there. Please pray seriously about the Lord's providing the right man who would be able to head up the mother church as well as all these ministries. One of Pastor Julio's goals was to open a Bible Institute. We already had the Christian University, but that was like full-time seminary. And so we went to him and said, well, we have like these great old videos from 25 years ago, Paisley Ties flannel graph, literally. And you know, you see the guy putting the flannel graph on, and that's your Bible Institute. We used them for 25 years there at one of the ministries. We said, it's time to update. It's time to, you know, record new content. So basically the same teachers who by day are the university, by night we are the Bible Institute. And so during the past 2 years, we've recorded 4 years of Bible content between all the teachers and the staff who works day and night, recording these. And so now, in addition to the university classes that we offer online and on DVD, we have Bible Institutes on two different levels that we offer both online and on DVD. So really, any resource, education, help you need in Spanish, we have three different levels we can offer you, and hopefully soon the master's level that the Lord has raised up there. And that's what drew us to this ministry. I remember being in Africa and just dying to have some help, some class, some recorded sermon that would be available, and there was really not much available. If you look at our table, the display table, we now have just notebook after notebook of all the courses that are online on the various levels. Here in this picture, we have pastors from other churches. We have the former director of music at UCLA. We have lawyers and accountants and people, lay people in the church taking Bible Institute classes. And so it's been a tremendous opportunity to provide Bible Institute there locally. Here are the 4 years of classes that we've recorded in the past 2 years. So that's already transitioning us now to the third idea of strengthening church plants. Church planning, training church planners, and strengthening church plants. We do that by these online resources. As you see there, there are three cameras mounted. There are two tech guys. It's all live editing. And basically with all donated equipment and no budget, and it's working great. The Lord has done a marvelous thing with the distance education. I'm a pilot and a mechanic, so I got to thinking, you know, driving all night and then doing 8 hours of teaching for 2 or 3 days and then driving all night and being in the service on Sunday morning, it gets old fast. The Lord provided this little airplane a few years ago, 5 years ago, and we used it for a couple of years while we were evaluating with whether it would be a help in extending what we're doing at the university around Mexico. And then the Lord provided this airplane. The first one was a 4-seat, 150-horse airplane. This is a 6-seat, 265-horse turbocharged airplane that goes 200 miles an hour, and it allows us to just get all over Mexico really fast. So we're taking what we're doing at the university around Mexico. For example, here's January 17th. It's a 6 to 8 hour drive down to Tampico. In the airplane, you're there in an hour and a half. I dropped Matt off, my coworker, and he taught philosophy of ministry at this church there in Tampico. Thursday by noon, I'm in the airplane going down to Poza Rica, which is another 3 or 4 hours drive, depending on the traffic, 45 minutes in the airplane. So by 1 p.m., it would be 10 to 12 and a half hours driving down to this place. By 1 p.m., I've stopped and dropped Matt off, and I'm on the ground in Poza Rica, ready to do 4 hours on Thursday afternoon, 8 hours on Friday, and 4 hours on Saturday morning. Pick Matt back up on the way home Saturday, and we're in bed Saturday night and ready to go to church on Sunday morning. You don't do that very often driving. We did it, but not very often. But now with the airplane, we're able to just scoot around and do that kind of stuff. This specific trip, we were doing the initial kickoff for this church's Bible Institute. So I taught biblical theology there, 16 hours, Thursday through Saturday. And now, this past December, this group has more than 20 people, men and women, pastors from the tribal area near there, where they have their Bible Institute graduating people. So our graduates are now graduating from the Bible Institute. And that gives us tremendous joy to see them going forward. Here's that first class, and this is where one of the places we use the airplane. Here's my navigator, sleeper. Everybody, when you get to 12,000 feet of altitude, you go to sleep unless... hopefully the pilot doesn't, right? And he's got the oxygen bottle. Everywhere we go is different. This is Zacatecas, high, dry, dusty, desert, maybe what you think of when you think of Mexico. You can see this is a while ago, Gloria, a little younger. We went with a group here, and normally people are contacting us, and they hear about what we're doing and all the resources, the classes, the training we provide. And so we have an initial meeting, and the first question typically is, where is this group as far as their training already? Because we can take everybody to the next level. The question is, where are you folks? And so at this meeting, when we asked how many people had graduated from high school, one of the pastors had graduated from high school, two or three had finished junior high. This is very rural, very bank, literally bean farmers and praying for rain out in the desert of Mexico. Dear, sweet people. So, in this case, we actually got out the 25-year-old videos with the paisley ties and flannel graphs because that's the level that is adequate for this group. And we've been going now for 3 years, and we identified of the various villages where they had come from, three central locations, and we swap videos between them. We travel up there to kind of keep them motivated, and so we're running a Bible Institute in the Zacatecas area, kind of by distance and by airplane and by truck or by however we get there. And that's just like, that's Zacatecas. Chiapas is a lot farther away. It's 700 miles. It's a five-hour trip in the airplane. I stop at the capital of Chiapas and do papers to land at a little private strip that's legal and open on the mountains, up in the mountains of Chiapas. And then that's like 10 minutes from the church where we minister. From there, people come 2, 4, 6, 8 hours drive for the conferences, the training we do there. Someplace like this, that far away, we would do once a year. Someplace that's Zacatecas, that's closer, we're going to do 3, 4 times a year. So everywhere we go is just a different scenario. Campeche, now we started ministering there 3 different times we've been there. And that's kind of a yearly or biannual ministry that we're doing in these areas. So these are the places where we have been either opening or serving regularly now. Ministries, we have Bible institutes or some sort of deal going on. Every place is different. But we're serving in all these parts of Mexico now with the airplane. When we were in Panama, I saw the primitive conditions and the roads. And when I got back to the village where the base is for the Costa Rican missionary, I had this like sense that I had not traveled. I had traveled far, but I hadn't gone anywhere. Right? I went a big circle, but it felt like it was right over there. And so I got my map out, and I'm looking. I can't find the village anywhere because I was looking way too far away. It was 10 miles away. But you had to go down to the highway, over on the highway, back up in, over through, snaking all through the roads, and then off-road. And I'm like, that's 10 miles. That's 8 minutes. That's 6 minutes in an airplane. And in the middle of this village, there's this huge soccer field you could land your plane on. And I'm thinking, if there's anywhere you could use missionary aviation, it would be here. Well, in Mexico, I've got a buddy who grew up in Mexico, built his airplane, and was going to go fly and land in pastures like you used to be able to do in Mexico. But in the last 6, 8 years, that's been completely shut down. And so he spent more than $125,000 to build this little airplane that they won't let him do that with. You can go airport to airport, but that's not what his does. His goes really slow and lands in a cow pasture. And so he's got up for sale, and he can't get $85,000 for it. But he's willing to take the, okay, you know, praise God, take the loss and go. I see this and I realize what's going on. And I called him. I said, Ethan, don't you dare sell that airplane until you give Panama a shot. The next day he gets a cash offer for his asking price. And he says to the guy, I don't think it's for sale. I think I'm going to see if I can get to use it in Panama. So we went back to Panama. We went with Ethan and we met with the director of general aviation. And they gave us one little sheet of paper how to open airstrips in the tribal reservations. And it's all, I mean, you can do this. Here's how you do it. It's not like, in Mexico, there's like, no way. In Panama, they're like, sure, here are the requirements, and you do this. And so we anticipate being able to help Ethan as he initiates an aviation ministry in Panama, especially from the flight aspect of things. And then there's a ministry here in the States that's wanting to open another Christian university that's accredited in a real university like UCLA in Nicaragua. And so we expect to be able, and this is just in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago today, the gentleman was in Monterey seeing the university, saying, how do we do copy-paste with this kind of thing in Nicaragua? So where we are there in Mexico is an amazing ministry. We're part of a fabulous team. Oddly enough, we like each other. We get along. I don't see my coworkers like very often. He's doing his thing and he's pastoring his church and everybody's going their different direction, but it's the Lord's work. This wasn't our idea. This wasn't our brainchild. We're not an important part of what it is. We're just happy to be on the team. A tremendous thing that God has raised up through dear people, especially at the beginning, sacrificing greatly. And we appreciate your faithful participation with us through all these years. So as you think of us, let me just kind of summarize it up and boil it down. Church planting, training church planters, and strengthening church plants. The local church there, the church plant, we hope that the Lord would direct regarding national leadership during this next time frame soon. That would be our goal. Seminary training, the next step is the master's level, and then the distance education. We're really just getting started in terms of what we're able to do with the airplane. Thank you so much for your support and your prayers.